We're going to look at Christmas. Christmas is coming. We all know that, right? Kids are excited. Eve's rampaging around the house trying to find her gifts. We didn't hide one very well, so she saw one of them. But it's going to be a great season. This morning, I want to look at the gift. God's gift to us and God's gifts around us. And of course, we know that for a lot of us, one of the things we do around Christmas is giving gifts, right? Many of us will give gifts to loved ones, to family, to friends. We'll receive gifts. We go shopping for our gifts. It's one of those Christmas traditions that a lot of people do. And gift giving is a big part of the season in Canada for a lot of people. And of course, sometimes we get distracted by all the gifts. And we know deep down the reason for the season, as we say, is that Jesus came. There's so much going around, it can be distracting sometimes. And I heard someone say that all of the things that come around Christmas, the cultural things, the gifts and the lights and the shopping and the food, they can be a distraction and they can sometimes camouflage the meaning of Christmas. But it doesn't make the meaning go away. It just sometimes conceals it a little bit. And as we dig underneath, you know, the wrapping paper, so to speak, we realize the gift is still there, that Jesus is still the reason for the season. And all of those things, actually, when we look at it, giving gifts, like why do we give gifts at Christmas? And going way back, it's because Jesus gave us a gift. God gave us a gift in the form of Jesus. The wise men gave gifts to Jesus, and we give gifts to each other. And sometimes we get distracted with all the shopping and the lists and all of that stuff, right? But the reason we give gifts is because we have received an amazing gift at Christmas. So I want to give you this statement this morning, and we're going to spend the next few minutes working through it. So the phrase is, when God gives a gift, he wraps it in a person. So think about that for a minute. I'll say it again. When God gives a gift, he wraps it in a person. Now, the first reason for that is probably fairly obvious. At Christmas, God gave the world Jesus. He wrapped his gift in human flesh, and the world received Jesus. The second meaning is maybe not quite as obvious, but often, when God gives us gifts in our lives, he wraps it in a person who is around us. And we receive God's gift through other people. So we're going to take a few minutes and look, first of all, at the gift of Jesus. And of course, the gift of Jesus is the gift of Christmas. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That is what the season is all about. And we thank God for the gift of his son who took on human flesh. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul is talking about this, and he breaks out in praise and he says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And that's what Christmas is all about. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift, the gift of Jesus. And God wrapped his gift to humanity in the flesh that Jesus took on to be with us. And Jesus' nickname, as Matt spoke a couple weeks ago, is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus wasn't just out there somewhere. God is not just some uninterested deity who's sitting up in the sky watching people with their little comings and goings and, you know, curious about what's going on but not really involved. God is with us. Jesus literally, physically lived a human life in a human body, no different from the one any of us live in. He was literally, physically God with us and continues to be God with us. And that is the gift of Christmas, that today Jesus continues to be the one who is with us, that God continues to be the God who dwells with us. And just like Jesus invited the little children to come to him at Christmas throughout the year, Jesus invites us to spend time with him. We're not a distraction to him. We're not an annoyance to him. Jesus wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. In the Gospel of John in chapter 21, there's this great story. After Jesus has died, after he's been resurrected, after he has appeared to the disciples a number of times, he begins the process of restoring Peter. But just before that, something pretty interesting happens. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but it's an amazing story in John. The disciples are dismayed and confused because Jesus has died. He's been resurrected. They don't fully understand at this point what is going on. Their world has been turned upside down, first by the arrival of Jesus. They followed him and worked with him for 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, he is gone. He's been killed. Again, their world has been turned upside down. So Peter, being the fisherman, gets up and says, "Well, guys, I'm going fishing. Who wants to go with me?" A bunch of the disciples go fishing with Peter. What do fishermen do when they don't know what to do? They go fishing. They spend all night on the lake fishing. They don't catch anything. And of course, fishermen being fishermen don't want to admit that they haven't caught anything, right? The sun is coming up, it's dawn. A guy's standing out on the shore, close enough to see the boat, and he yells out, "Hey guys, have you caught anything?" They don't really want to admit it, perhaps, but no, we haven't caught anything. The guy says, "Well, just throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you'll catch something." Okay. They toss their nets out. All of a sudden, the nets are full. They can't hold any more fish in them. They get a little bit closer. They recognize that the guy standing on shore is Jesus. Probably because he's done this exact miracle before. If you remember back earlier in the Gospels, Jesus did a very similar miracle. So he revealed himself to the disciples again in this miracle, showing who he is. But it's what happens next that I find so interesting about this story. Jesus calls out to the disciples. He's like, "Pull in your boats, come over here." They get a little bit closer. And Jesus has a fire going on the beach, and he's cooking breakfast. It's dawn. They've been out all night working, hadn't caught anything. Now they've got this huge load of fish that they're going to have to process and get ready for the market. But Jesus says, "Come over here and have some breakfast." And Jesus sits down with the disciples on the beach, and he cooks them breakfast. Now just imagine that. Jesus, God, our Lord and Savior, sitting on the beach with you, cooking you breakfast. Jesus cooks them breakfast and he serves them breakfast. They eat together. And to me, that is who Jesus is. That is the definition of God with us. Jesus didn't go hire someone to cater a meal. He didn't miraculously make breakfast appear, which he could have. He sat there, made the fire, got the fish, cooked it, and laid out a nice breakfast for the disciples who had been working hard all night. That is God with us. That is Jesus with us. That is the gift of Jesus. Thinking about this, Eugene Peterson says, "Jesus insists that we deal with God right here and now, in the place we find ourselves and with the people we are with. Jesus is God here and now. And it's basic to the Christian faith that Jesus is, in actual fact, God among us." Just like those disciples experienced Jesus cooking breakfast for them, we have to believe that Jesus is God with us. It's basic to the faith, it's basic to Christianity, that Jesus is God among us. So this Christmas, we celebrate Jesus, the one who is God among us. Now, probably that's fairly obvious to most of us. If you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard that. before. It's not breaking news, right? The second part maybe is a little bit different. It might be a little bit unexpected. So going back to our phrase, say it again, when God gives a gift, he wraps it in a person. So our second understanding of this phrase has to do with how God often provides for us. And Jesus' gift in our lives is often wrapped in the presence of another person. And I've talked to people about this, about going through times in their lives, going through difficult times. And I've heard people say that when they're going through a difficult time, God felt distant. And that's not particularly surprising, right? When we're going through tough times, sometimes it feels as if God is distant. Sometimes it feels as if God isn't speaking. Or we wonder, why am I going through this difficult time? Why would God allow this to happen? Why did I lose my job? Why do I not have enough money? You know, why did that person die? All of these questions, right? Why did that happen? We feel distant from God. Maybe we feel disconnected from him. Maybe we feel that he isn't speaking or that he doesn't care. And we talk about this, and that's a normal and natural response. But in the same circumstances, people will sometimes say, I felt distant from God, but I had all these amazing people around me who were supporting me, who were caring for me, who provided something I needed, who cooked a meal, who offered an encouraging word, who prayed with me, whatever it was. People will often say, I had these amazing people help me out during this difficult time, whatever it was. Not always, but often it seems to be that's the case. People will have, you know, people that are supportive at some level in their lives, people helping them out. And yet they're saying, I felt disconnected from God. I didn't feel that God was speaking. And maybe we don't put it together this way all the time, but let me suggest that those people were God's presence in your life. That those people helping you out were Jesus with you. Though you didn't hear audible words, though you didn't maybe feel God's presence in ways that you'd felt before, yet Jesus gave you a gift in the presence of people around you who cared for you, loved you, served you, brought you something you need. So we can say when God gave a gift, he gave it to you wrapped in the presence of a person. Maybe you didn't feel God in the way you expected to, but it's not that he wasn't there. Sometimes we don't see Jesus because he doesn't appear in the ways that we expect him to appear. Sometimes he appears in surprising ways. And maybe we were looking for Jesus to appear in a particular way or speak a particular thing or say, you know, the answer that we've been looking for, but he didn't. I've got another Eugene Peterson quote here. It's a little bit longer. The first part's not on the screen, but the second part will be. So just listen to this quote because it unpacks this for us, and Eugene says it in a way that I can't. So you would think that believing that Jesus is God among us would be the hardest thing. So going back to our first part, that Jesus is God's gift to us. You would think that believing that Jesus is God among us would be the hardest thing. It is not. It turns out that the hardest thing is to believe that God's work, this dazzling creation, this astonishing salvation, this cascade of blessings, is all being worked out in and under the conditions of our humanity. At picnics and around dinner tables, in conversations and while walking along roads, in puzzled questions and homely stories with blind beggars and suppurating lepers at weddings and funerals. Everything that Jesus does and says takes place within the limits and conditions of our humanity. No fireworks, no special effects, yet there are miracles. Plenty of them. But because for the most part they are so much a part of the fabric of everyday life, very few notice. The miraculousness of miracle is obscured by the familiarity of the setting. the ordinariness of the people involved. This is still the way Jesus is God among us. And I think sometimes in those cases, whether it's in difficult times or in good times, we want or expect Jesus to show up in blinding lights. We want the angelic message. We want the audible word from God. And those things certainly do happen, but not always. And sometimes we expect the big miracle. We expect the fireworks, but it's just your neighbor at the door with a baked chicken on the night where you couldn't find energy to make supper. Is that any less of a miracle than God's audible voice or an angelic message, right? And how many times, if you think back to your own life, how many times has something like that happened to you? Some sort of, maybe it was just some little thing. Someone making a meal, someone offering an encouraging word, someone, you know, slipping you $20 when you needed it, whatever it was. These little everyday miracles wrapped in the ordinariness of daily life, I would argue, are Jesus' presence with us through other people. And I think we can ask ourselves three questions here, and I just encourage you to reflect on these as we go into this last week of the Christmas season. You can ask yourself, who has been a gift in your life? Doesn't have to be them giving you something physical. It could be their presence as a friend, their encouragement, praying for you. In what surprising ways might Jesus have shown up in your life where you didn't recognize him? As you look back, maybe in the moment you didn't recognize him, but looking back 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years later, you realize that was Jesus. And in what ways might Jesus be at work right now that you have written off as just the ordinary stuff of life? And I encourage you to think about that this Christmas season. In what ways might Jesus be at work in your life right now that maybe you've just written off as the daily routine? God's presence often comes to us through people. And isn't this how the body of Christ is supposed to work? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That's what the body of Christ is meant to be. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So when God gives a gift, he wraps it in a person. Now, third, I want to flip this around and look at one more way we can understand this phrase. So God gives us the gift of Jesus. That's our gift of Christmas. Often we receive God's gifts through other people. God wraps his gifts in the presence of people around us. Now finally, think about this. Jesus' presence in you is God's gift to others. Now, maybe that sounds arrogant to you, right? I am Jesus' gift to other people. Don't say that to your spouse. Unless they're in a really good mood and they've had lots of coffee. It might sound arrogant to say that, but Jesus' presence in you is God's gift to other people around you. Because you are uniquely placed to offer the gifts that Jesus has placed in you to the people who are around you. Dan Allender says this. He says, as a story, you are meant to reveal God to others. You are, in fact, a unique, once-on-the-earth life that reveals the story of Jesus in a fashion that no one else will ever do. That is your story. And Jesus has placed you in a particular place at a particular time, and he's placed his story in you. Because we think about, you know, where Jesus has placed us, there's so much that we have no control over. Did any of us control the family that we were born into? Where we were born? The circumstances that our parents lived in when we were born? Did we control our race? Did we control whether we would be rich or poor? We didn't control any of that. None of that was our choice. God gave us what we have. Because of the unique circumstances that you were placed in, you have a unique perspective and gift to offer. The things that have happened to you, good and bad, are part of that story. And you get to offer that story to other people around you. And as you go, Jesus' presence goes with you. And we probably often don't think of it this way, at least I don't always, but Jesus' presence is with you. And you might think, you know, some little encouraging word you offer to someone's like, oh, I'm just being nice, which is great. But maybe that is exactly what that person needed to hear. And you'll often hear people like, you know, sometimes you say something to someone and years later they come back to you and say, you remember that time you told me? And you don't remember, but they do. And it was so meaningful to them at that moment. Little things like that are God's gift in us, given to other people. That Jesus' presence living in us is part of God's gift to those around us. And maybe this Christmas, you are Jesus' presence for someone around you. Maybe this Christmas, Jesus is offering a gift to someone through you. Maybe you will be Jesus' presence for someone this season, for someone that needs it. Think back to the story in John about Jesus cooking breakfast for the disciples. And this is God wrapped in human flesh with us, the one who wants to be with us, the one who wants to fellowship with us, to have a relationship. Now think to a time when someone has blessed you, maybe bringing you a meal. That was Jesus' presence wrapped in other people around you. Now, think of a time when you served someone else or offered someone else a gift. That's Jesus' presence in you, a gift to other people. So we'll go back to our original phrase. When God gives a gift, he wraps it in a person. This Christmas, may the presence of Jesus with us, in us, be the gift that we celebrate. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are the gift of Christmas, that your presence with us is the gift of Christmas. Lord, and I pray as we go through our celebrations this coming week, whatever that looks like, Lord, for some people, it's an amazing time surrounded by family and friends. For others, we know Christmas is a struggle. For people who are alone, for people who are far from family and friends, for people who are by themselves, for people that don't have some of the things that we typically count on for Christmas, Lord, but whatever our celebrations look like, we put our trust in you. We thank you for your gift, for your presence with us. We pray that we would get to be the presence of Jesus for people around us this Christmas, that it's not just in the angelic messages, it's not just in the blinding lights that miracles happen. It's in the everyday. It's in the ordinary. It's in little gifts, kind words, small gestures. Lord, we don't always know or see the impact that those things have on people, but you are at work. Help us to be listening, to you, Holy Spirit, this Christmas. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for this church family. Lord, we pray that you would bless our Christmas celebrations and we would in turn be a blessing to others. We pray this in your name. Amen.